Jesus of Nazareth, we want to bless your name. We give you praise and glory this morning. We have come into your presence, Lord, to be touched and to be changed. My Father, my God, as we hear your word this morning, every fear in our lives, we cast out in Jesus' name. Lord, every fear of death, every fear of infirmity, every fear of failure, even the fear of success, every form of fear, fear of what the devil can do, fear of the enemy, any kind of fear this morning, O Lord, that exists even in our imaginations, Father, we banish them in the mighty name of Jesus. We say every fear come to an end from today in Jesus' name. Lord, have your way, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We've been talking about fear. By the grace of God, today we are going to be talking about overcoming fear. Because there's no... We didn't just talk about fear for the sake of talking about fear. We are talking about fear because we want to overcome it. So we are going to go back to where we have been reading from. That is the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 4 to 12. Luke 12, 4 to 12. We are going to read from verse 4 to 12, from Luke 12. So please, if you are there, can we have two people read as usual? The first, somebody to read verse 4 to 8, another one to read 9 to 12. Luke 12.
Who, after killing, has the authority to throw into hell? Believe me, he is the one you must fear. Aren't five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one sparrow is forgotten by God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. 8. I assure you that those who declare publicly that they belong to me, the Son of Man will do the same for them before the angels of God.
9 to 12.
But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, and do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
Praise the Lord. So we've read this place many times. And one of the things that the passage is telling us is that often fear is the reason we don't talk about Jesus. So if we are afraid of people or afraid of what they will say and we refuse to talk about Jesus, then we are people who choose to live our lives in fear. And the Word of God says we must not live in fear. Faith is about confession. Faith is about what? Confession. You cannot say you have faith and not confess your faith. Because we know the Bible says with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto what? Unto salvation. Confession is made unto deliverance. Confession is made unto your healing. Confession is made unto your breakthrough. So you cannot say you serve God and not confess Him. And of course, Hebrews 10:35, which is our memory verse, says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward." Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In other words, every time we are confident in the Lord, there's a reward for us. And so, it is very important that we overcome our fears. We've looked at what fear is. We've looked at the types of fear that we may encounter. We talked about the types of, we said there are two main types: the godly fear and the ungodly fear. And the Bible says, as we read this morning, and as we know, the Bible does not encourage any form of ungodly fear. Fear of man, fear of what the future will hold, it simply means we don't trust Him. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, all sort of fears that would not indicate that we put our trust in Him, the ungodly fears. And my prayer is this, is that God will deliver you from every kind of fear in Jesus' name. One thing I've observed is that after you hear a message like this, there's a tendency for the enemy to want to try and scare you. He wants to test if what you have heard has had impact upon your lives and the way you view yourself and the world around you. God will give you victory over him in Jesus' name. Of course, we talked about some of the problems associated with ungodly fear. We said fear is the opposite of faith, so you cannot be in faith and be in fear at the same time. And of course, only those who live in faith can please God. So which means if we are in fear, we cannot please God. We also talked about some of the sources of fear. Fear, we say, can come and often comes from the enemy because it's his weapon. Is a way to destabilize us. Is a way to confuse us. We say fear can also come from man. Usually agents of the enemy, in order to take us off focus. Sometimes it comes from our own lack of confidence or past experiences. And of course, it can come from the kind of people we surround ourselves with. And sometimes when we see the enormity of what God is asking us to do, we fear. But remember that He is the one who supplies the strength and the abilities. And so we'll be able to accomplish that which God has placed in our hands. And of course, fear comes out of lack of knowledge. If you have a knowledge of what the mind of God is, and what He intends, you will not live in fear. So let's quickly look at overcoming fear. As we have in the bulletin, overcoming fear is a prerequisite to growing in faith. You know how many of us who go to school, who went to school, and they will say this is a prerequisite, this is something you must do if you are going to qualify for this. If you are going to be entitled to this, this is the condition that you have to satisfy. So, overcoming fear is one of the conditions that we have to meet or satisfy if we are going to grow in faith. And we also have here that fear we always want to show up as long as we are alive. The only person that stops having any form of fear is the one who is dead. You know, there are different methods of disposing of the body of the dead in Australia. They can bury them in the ground, like we know. They cremate them. Have you heard of anyone that is being cremated that ran out of the place to say it's too hot? No. The one who is dead has no fear. But as long as we are alive, fear will always show up. One of the work of our faith is to overcome fear. And this is where choice making comes in for us. We have to choose to condition our hearts. We have to do what? Choose to condition our hearts in a way that we will no longer fear. The events of the last week or so has impacted or changed my perspectives so much so that some of the little things that one used to think can't no longer can't, and it should not can't. Some of the little fears that we often have, I'm telling you, God, who has been seeing you through, will see you through once again. It doesn't matter what you are going through. David conditioned his heart. That was what David did. Let's open to Psalm 56, verse 2 to 5. David has learned to condition his heart. There are many instances in the Bible that showed that David conditioned his heart to not fear. It wasn't that fear didn't come to him. One good example that I've always said and we've repeated over and over here is when David was confronted with Goliath. If you go and read that account in 1 Samuel chapter 17 very well, the Bible said that Goliath had been tormenting the people of God for how many days? For 3 days. He's been coming out and saying, look, if you think you are strong, send somebody who is strong amongst you and let him contend with me. If you believe in your God, if you believe that truly your God is God, send somebody to come and contest with me. And if I'm able to defeat that person, it means the whole nation has been defeated. Then you come and you'll be our servants. He's been saying that for how many days? 3 days. And all the people, all the big soldiers, all the trained soldiers, their hearts had melted within them and they were afraid. Nobody could confront him. Nobody was able to confront Goliath. But when the little boy David came, there was something different about him. And the only thing that was different about him was that he had conditioned his heart not to fear. And how did he condition his heart? He remembered the victory that God had given him in the past. That was all that made the difference. He simply remembered. He said, the Lord that delivered me from the lion and the bear, that same God would deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. That was all that made the difference. So if you remember how God has saved you and delivered you in the past, it's enough for you to trust God that he will deliver you again. And so you will not live in fear. We are talking about overcoming fear. We say we have to condition our hearts. Psalm 56, verse 2 to 5. I'm going to read. It says, they that lie in wait for me would swallow me up or trample me all day long, for they are many who fight against me, O Most High. Verse 3 says, What time I am afraid, I will have confidence in and put my trust and reliance in you. By the help of God, I will praise his word. On God, I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear what can man who is flesh do to me? All day long they twist my words and trouble my affairs. All their thoughts are against me for evil and my heart. Listen to this. Listen to what David did. Particularly verse 3 and 4. David said, he was aware that the world he was living in was a difficult one. He was aware that there were people who didn't like him. He was aware that there were battles to fight. He was aware that there were going to be difficulties. He even said the words that he spoke were twisted and misunderstood. So, in other words, the reason I've chosen this place is for you to know that whatever you are going through now is not new. So, some people did not like him, that like some people don't like you. He's waiting on God for some things to happen in his life, just like you are waiting on God for something to happen in your life. He's trusting God for answers to some of his prayers, just like you are trusting God for answers to your prayers this morning. But David said something. He made up his mind. He said, "What time I am afraid? What time I am afraid? The time that I'm supposed to be afraid, the time that fear comes, the time when I'm unsure, the time when I'm uncertain, the times when, you know, it looks like my prayers are not being answered, the times when it looks like everyone is against me in town, the times when it looks like everyone is talking about me, the times when it looks like I'm going to fail that exam, the time when it looks like I cannot make it." He said, at that time, what time I am afraid, I will have confidence in and put my trust and reliance in you. How does he do it? Look at the next verse. He said, "By the help of God, I will praise" what? "I will praise his word." In other words, I'm not going to praise the word of the enemy. I'm not going to praise and magnify what the enemy is saying about me. Particularly the children here, I want you to listen to this. You go to school, and because you look different, the other kids choose to say something about you. Instead of believing what they are saying, you have to believe what the word of God says about you. He said, "I will choose to praise your word." Even the adults in the house, instead of believing what the enemy is saying about you, you will choose to do what? To magnify the word of the Lord. That is how to overcome fear. Instead of respecting what the enemy is saying, when the enemy says you cannot make it, when they tell you are going to die, when they tell you that people who, you know, the kind of job you are doing, nobody does it and make it, in your own case, you will make it because God says you are going to make it. That type of exam that you are doing is very difficult. Nobody ever passed. When it is your time, you are going to pass. You are not a nobody. He said, "I will praise your word." That is the secret. Exalting the word of God above the word of man. He said, "On God I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear. What can man who is flesh do to me?" If man says there is no way for you, tomorrow that same man may be no more. And let me tell you something. I was telling some people yesterday. Man, we are just like vapor. We are just like vapor. And when that day comes, the day you close your eyes and you sleep in the Lord, that day, people will come to you. They will remove your dresses. They will take your ring from you. They will take your shoes. They will take your socks. They will not allow you to take anything. Anything. Nothing will go with you. Nothing. Even the little that they used to cover you will be eaten up. Nothing. Nothing at all. So why do you have to be afraid? How important are the things that you are afraid of compared to who you are going to spend eternity with. We hold high the word of God. Of course, when we make up our minds, that is what will help us to seek the good of the kingdom in the face of danger. Let's quickly look at Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Paul was speaking there. Acts 20:22. Paul got to a point that he lost fear for everything. Acts 20:22. He said, Okay, let me read my own. I like my own more than your own. And it says, and now, you see, I am going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit, and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what would befall me there. In fact, what actually happened is that one of the prophets, Agabus, actually told Paul, if you remember the story very well, he took the girdle and said, who owns this girdle? And everyone said, and he said to them, look, he said, he tied his hands. He said, the man who owns this girdle will be tied the same way that he's used this girdle to tie himself. But yet, Paul, that did not stop Paul. That did not stop Paul. Let's see how Paul responded to that. Let's start from verse, let's read from verse 23. Paul goes on to say, he said, except that the Holy Spirit clearly and emphatically affirms to me in city after city that imprisonment and suffering, do what? Await me. So he knew what was awaiting him. But he has moved beyond fear. Read verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained from which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the goodness, gospel of grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessings, and mercy. So he said, none of these things. He's already been told that, look, you are going to be in prison, you are going to be punished. But he said, I've moved beyond the point of fear. Somebody will move beyond the point of fear from this morning in Jesus' name. I want us to also read 2 Corinthians 11:29. It's the same Paul speaking there. 2 Corinthians 11:29. He's moved beyond the point of fear. Jesus himself moved beyond the point of fear. You know, when he saw what was going to happen to him at the end of the day, he submitted to the Spirit of the living God and said, Father, not my will, but your will. He said, look at Paul. In case you think you are in a situation that is irredeemable, in case you think your situation, you just wonder when you hear about not fearing and you say, you see, how can somebody be like that? It's not possible. You know, it cannot happen. Look at what Paul has to say here, verse 29 of 2 Corinthians 11. He said, who is weak? And I do not feel his weakness. Who is made to stumble and fall? I have his faith hurt. I am not on fire with sorrow or indignation. In other words, Paul is saying the same thing you are going through now, I have gone through them. I came to a point of decision not to be afraid, not to fear anymore. All your fears of your doubts or your unbelief, he said, Paul said, I've gone through the same thing. Who has not? Who has feelings and I don't have feelings? Who has weakness and I don't have weakness? Who gets confused and I don't get confused sometimes? And you actually ask yourself, what is all this about? What is life about? I've asked to ask myself many times, and more recently, I have to ask myself, I say, what is life about? What is it all about? How important is it? What is it? But I can tell you something, that there's something bigger than the life we are living in, this short life we are living in. That is God. And it is when you put your focus on him that you cease to be afraid of what man can do, of what situation comes your way. Paul got to that point. So every one of us, we've got feelings. We've got uncertainties. But remember, that you serve a certain God. You serve a God that does not change. You serve a God that can do all things. And we have to submit to Him. Praise the Lord. And of course, one of the ways we overcome fear is to keep hearing and doing the word of God. Remember that there is a cost to everything in life. There is a cost. There is a cost to everything in life. There is a cost to living in obedience to God. And there is a cost to living in what? In disobedience to God. Everything has a cost. Every choice you make has a cost. We did elementary economics. What do they call it? Opportunity cost. Everything, every decision we ever take will have a cost. We must always remember that. So repeat the word of God to yourself until you believe it. Like David, encourage yourself in the Lord. Philippians 4 verse 4. What does it say? No, don't read. What does it say? Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Somebody said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Always rejoice in the Lord, irrespective of what is happening in your life. Irrespective of what you can see. Let's start to rejoice in the Lord. Let's learn to rejoice in the Lord. All said and done. You may be stunned. That thing may happen to you suddenly. As soon as you collect yourself, remember to rejoice in the Lord. And once you learn that, after some time, instead of being destabilized, the first thing that will occur to you is that you will rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. You must see trying times as opportunity for growth in the Lord. And that is what they really are. Honestly, that is what they really are. Let's look at Hebrews 10:36. That's the next verse after our memory verse. Hebrews 10:36. Let's see it as opportunity. All the difficult situations. He said, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance. Can somebody hear that this morning? He said, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. In other words, even after you have been obedient to God, because many of us, we get to a point sometimes we are doing the right things as far as we know, and it looks like the results we expect are not coming, and we begin to ask, Lord, but I'm serving you, but I know sister so and so who is not living holy. I know they go to sleep with boyfriend. I know they do this and I know they do that. Yet it looks like she's being blessed and I'm not being blessed. I know brother so and so who lies through his teeth, and yet he's getting blessed and I'm not getting blessed. I know this person who does not pay their tithes, and it looks like they are being blessed and I'm not being blessed, yet I pay my tithe. What does the Bible say? Maybe it's even better in King James Version. It says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So in other words, even after you have been obedient to God and done everything, you need what? You need patience. So that you can receive the promise. So that we don't say things we are not supposed to say in the times of trouble. So that we don't make the wrong confession in the times of trouble. So we hold our peace and be patient, knowing that God will do what He has promised to do. In all your obedience, after you have obeyed, after your obedience is complete, you have what? You have need of what? Patience. And you will see God bring to pass His promise for your life in Jesus' name. Fear. The other things the other thing that we need to overcome fear is what? Apart from patience, it's love. What does the Bible say? It's a perfect love. Eh? Cast out what? Fear. Perfect love. You see, when my heart is clean towards you, when my heart is right towards you, if your heart is not right towards me, when you come, you are the one who will not feel comfortable wherever I am. But when I can make sure that my heart is right towards you, I will feel confident talking to you. I will feel, when I say things, even though you may not like what I say, I will walk away and I will sleep very well, soundly. But when your heart is not right towards the other person, you will not sleep soundly except if your conscience is dead. He said, perfect love, cast out what? Fear. So we have need of patience. We have need of love. We have need of total trust in the word of God. We have to take a decision that we will no longer fear. That is how to overcome fear. And I will pray for you this morning that every source of fear in your life, the Lord God himself will confront it for you in Jesus' name. He said, stand still and see that I am God. You know, you just stand by and let the Lord do the battle for you. Instead of being afraid, let the Lord do the battle for you. If you need to fight, the Bible says, he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. When you need to fight, God will teach your hands to war and will teach your fingers to fight. The things that you are supposed to say, you will say it. When you are meant to keep quiet, you will keep quiet. Let's just rise on our feet this morning. Fear. Fear. Fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of failure, fear of infirmities, fear, every kind of fear in your life. I want you to speak to the Lord this morning and say, Father, banish them from my life in Jesus' name. I don't want to live in fear anymore, because the Bible says he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Oh yes, fear is a spirit. He will have no power or dominion over you anymore from today in Jesus' name. Say, Father, I don't want to live in fear anymore. Any kind of fear, I come against it in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. From today, I start to walk tall. I start to walk strong. I start to walk confident in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Every form of fear in my life, I banish you from today in Jesus' name. I no longer live in fear. I live in the confidence of the power of the Son of God who has redeemed my life. I no longer live in fear. I'm not under the power of the enemy anymore. Therefore, I am not afraid of what man can do to me. I'm only afraid of God. I'm only fearful of God who is the author of life. Who is the one who can kill the body and the soul. Oh yes, I have no fear. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of anything, because I have a God that is greater than every circumstance. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of losing my job. I'm not afraid of losing my faculties. I'm not afraid of losing my children. I'm not afraid of the future of my children. I'm not afraid of anything, because God is on my side. Because the Lord God is my life. He's my life. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Oh yes, everything I have derives from him. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid. Oh yes, I'm not afraid. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.